The first part of my sermon will be in Spanish and the second part will be in English. But thank you for this beautiful song. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and just we want to thank you that on this beautiful Sabbath day we can be here. And thank you for giving rest to our bodies and the rest to our soul. And now as you engage our mind and heart with your word, we pray that you will add your blessing upon us as we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me read to you the text. Just turn me down a little bit, Darren. Just turn me down a little bit. Thank you. We are in the middle of the series. Actually, we are more to the end of the series on our journey to the Promised Land. And let me tell you, we need this person. This sermon is about one specific person in the life of Moses who was very crucial and came at the right time into his life, when he probably needed him the most. And that's what we need in our lives, that we have these right people in our lives who will help us on the way. Let me read to you the text. It's a little longer text, so I want you to be focused and patient as we read and try to understand. Many of you know the event, but let's read it once again so that we can engage with the topic for today. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. So in other words, Moses was on his own in Egypt, and Zipporah, his wife, was still in Midian. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." And the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the wilderness, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this? What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you do alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" I'm not going to read the rest of this, because we will come back to that later. You see, on our way to the Promised Land, we need Jethro. Last time, you have heard Samson talk about challenges people were facing. And in the face of those challenges, people start grumbling and murmuring and speaking against Moses. But then somebody like Jethro comes along at exactly the right time, and Moses needed him so much. Because what Jethro brought about in the life of Moses was priceless. I think he reminded him, Moses, it's all about relationships. And Moses, as you are moving to the promised land, God promised to you, you are to be organized and effective. Moses needed to hear this at this very specific time for himself and for the people of Israel. So it's all about relationships. We are going to look into this. You see, what kind of relationships? Well, relationship between God and Moses. But Moses was not having only a relationship with God, but he was also a leader. He was a husband. He was a father. He was a son-in-law. He was a brother. So it's all about relationships. And for us as a church, it's all about relationship that we have in God, with God, and it is all about our own relationships that we have with one another. So, let me ask you, what grade or how would you evaluate Moses as far as his relationship with God was? How would you evaluate him? What would you say? 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 5 out of 10, what would you give him? 10? I would do the same. As he was getting older, he was desiring and longing for more and more of presence of God in his life. It culminated at the moment when he said, God, I want to see you. I really deeply want to see you. The older he got, the more he was longing for the presence of God in his life. What would you say about his love for God? 10 out of 10? I would say the same. Especially after the burning bush experience, his love for God was real, very, very real. What about his obedience to God? 10 out of 10? 9 out of 10? 10 out of 10. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. It's okay with me. But he's exemplary. We can all say that, can't we? An amazing example of a person who has a very close relationship with God, but it is not just intangible. You can see that it makes all the difference in his life. You see, his relationship with God determined the quality of all other relationships. You see, he did not lose patience with people who were grumbling around him. He led them patiently. He became the most humble person that you can imagine. Yes, as tough as nail, as far as his determination leading them to the promised land. He was an incredible leader, soft-hearted, yet so hard and bold and courageous. What a man. What a man. But yet the secret was that the quality of his relationship with God determined the quality of all other relationships. The kind of person he became was also predetermined through his relationship with God. His relationship with God also made it possible that they all arrived at the doorstep of a promised land. Wasn't it? That's why for me, 10 out of 10. Success. Full success. What about you? How would you grade yourself? You see, the presence of the sweet spirit of God in you is pretty precise about measuring the temperature gauge of your heart in as far as Jesus is concerned. And at this moment, as I'm asking you, you are pretty certain where you stand, aren't you? Does the relationship with God determine the quality of relationship with other people? How are you in obedience to God? How would you grade yourself? Are you determined on your journey to the promised land? As you are getting older, is the presence of God your greatest heart desire? Well, you can't do that for me. I can't do that for you as far as how you would grade yourself. But that's a question. That's a question. Jethro could not help Moses on this one. And nobody can help you except encourage you to have this close connection with God and be obedient to Him that will affect everything that's going on in your life. Everything that is going on in your life. Let me ask you this question. How would you grade Moses as a leader? What would you say? 10 out of 10? 8 out of 10? Once again, I'm not going to argue with you. It's okay. But let me just point out a couple of things. See, he faced resistance by people and from people and from Pharaoh himself, yet he persisted. His own people gave him the greatest grief. Yet he loved them, he was humble, yet tough as nail in his determination to, by God's grace, set them free and take them to the promised land. And the mission was accomplished. In spite of a resistance and murmuring and grumbling that took place. 10 out of 10? Yes. He faced Pharaoh, obeyed God, led people during plagues. 10 out of 10. Led people out of Egypt. Dealt with people in crisis and murmuring, and brought them to the doorstep of a promised land. Wow. What a leader. What a leader. Success? How about you? How about you and me in the sphere of influence or leadership where we are at? How would you grade yourself? How would you grade yourself in the face of opposition and murmuring and grumbling? Do you throw hands in the air or give up? Or do you continue and stay on a course? Because the goal and God that you serve is worthy. How about yourself? You may say, I'm not a leader, but you can't say that you're not a person of influence. Every one of us is a person of influence, and therefore important. Creating an atmosphere around you which will influence people to go in certain direction in their lives. So, what kind of leader are you? Now, we are getting to a trickier part. What would you grade Moses as a husband and a father? Okay. What would you say? Well, let's break it down. Moses, Zipporah, and kids in Midian. Remember, he became a married man, but a shepherd, and had two sons born to him. I would think, and this is now my holy imagination, that Moses probably was a good father, had enough time, even though he worked, and probably worked hard, for his wife and his children. The communication was good. They were a happy family. Moses, I would put to you, was a good husband and father in Midian. Now, Moses became an absent father and a husband. He had to go to Egypt without wife and kids. A good decision, but an absent father and an absent husband. I want to take you to a sticky place. And this place is when Moses crosses together with his people on the other side of the Red Sea, and now he is in the wilderness, in the desert. And you would think, Moses, when are you getting together with your wife and kids? And it doesn't happen one day. It doesn't happen next day. It doesn't happen next day. It doesn't happen next day. He is consumed by the work that he is doing for his people. He's consumed by the mission of leading people to the promised land. His kids still don't have their father. His wife still doesn't have her husband. No much time for the family. His father-in-law comes at the right time. Curiously, I observed that mother-in-law is not mentioned, but that's okay. But he comes at the right time. He comes at the right time. Did you observe who initiated the reunion between Moses and the family? Did he or did Jethro? That is interesting. That is interesting. Look what it says. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the wilderness where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent a word to him, I, your father-in-law, am coming to you with my daughter and her two sons. That's interesting. He doesn't say your two sons. He said her two sons. I'm not sure if he was getting a hint. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into tents. So he kisses his father-in-law. They go into tents. And do you know what Moses is talking about? And I would too. Immediately Moses tells his father-in-law, you will not believe what God has done for us in Egypt. And one by one he was telling them a miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that God was doing for them. And kids might be waiting outside to hug their father. So we said, who initiated family reunion? What do we detect from conversation between Moses and Jethro? What we detect is that he is consumed with God's mission. Is his wife and kids part of the mission? They are. but probably not as important as they should have been. How would you rate Moses as a father and a husband? 10 out of 10? I don't know. Maybe, if you want to, it's okay. But it's not quite right. That's why I'm saying to you, Jethro comes into the life of Moses at the right time, at the right time. How would you rate yourself as a parent and as a spouse? 10 out of 10? I don't know. 10 out of 10? You are all conspicuously silent. I want to remind you on the words of Moses that he said, and they ring true. He says, on our way to the promised land, we go with everyone. Cattle, pets, elderly, young, parents, spouses, kids, brothers, sisters, friends. Everyone is to go to this amazing place. Moses, your wife and your kids too. Do you see that? Jethro comes at the right time. I want you to see something. Moses faced criticism and murmuring by the people. But what I love seeing is that he faced a constructive criticism of his father-in-law. You see, it is one thing to face people, and potentially there are more people who are criticizing and murmuring than those who are constructive critics, like Jethro was. You and I, every single one of us, need Jethro on our way to the promised land. We need people who will be constructive critics in our lives. That will make us better people. We need people who will come and appreciate what we do, but speak truth to us. Our culture today goes to the extreme. They will burn you with negativity about you, or they will praise you, totally neglecting your faults. It does not strike the balance between the two. But you and I need somebody in our lives who is Jethro, who encourages us for the right things we do, but also points out to the problems and issues we individually have. And all of us have them. On our way to the promised land, we need Jethro. You see, negative criticism and murmuring is such that it blames and condemns person rather than dealing with the problem. Moses, you are to blame that we don't have water now. Moses, you are to blame that we don't have food. Why did you take us out of Egypt? You are that person. Criticizers, murmurers, have a problem with the person rather than seeing things. This is a common problem to all of us. You see, criticizers and murmurers, they are fixated on a problem rather than a solution. Also, this approach divides rather than unites the people, like Korah's rebellion. You see, potentially in a culture that we find ourselves in, you can easily divide this congregation into those who are vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated, can't we? Yeah? But how do you hold together in harmony and unity, not uniformity? How can you hold together the group of people who made different decisions under the unity that we all need to have? And we need that. Whoever is a leader needs to lead all of God's people. You see, the spirit of division and the spirit of murmuring and criticizing is not God's spirit. It is a spirit of devil rather than God. And I want you to see the example of Jethro. I want you to follow him very, very carefully what he does. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as a judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is it? What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" I want to take you step by step about this beauty of Jethro. I want you to see what is happening. The first thing that Moses, that Jethro does is this. He doesn't say, "Moses," after he heard him, "Yes, you are a good leader, but you are a lousy husband." He didn't say that. He could have. Yes, he could have said, "Did I need to initiate a reunion with your kids and with your wife?" He didn't even say that. He could have been tempting to do it, but he didn't. He bit his tongue, and what he wanted to do first is to observe him. Do you see that? He said, "I'm going to observe Moses and see what's his life like. I want to see it." That's number one step. If you are not to be the criticizer and murmurer, but a constructive critic, stand aside and observe. First, observe what is going on. That's number one principle. Number two, Jethro sees a problem. He sees a problem. He says, "I can see what the problem is. He's quite a lousy organizer." He says, "Moses, you're doing this all alone. And I can understand you have, this is a newly formed nation, and you are in the starting stages of organizing yourself as a nation. Okay, you probably need me a little bit here." So he says, "I can see a problem." Number three, Jethro goes and says, "Okay, I can see what the problem is, Moses," and hear me out. But I want you to see that Jethro does not stay just with the problem. He says, "Moses, I think I can recommend to you a solution." Do you see what's happening? First, he observes and says nothing, bites his tongue, not to be too harsh towards his son-in-law. Okay? And he observes, and that he sees a problem. He tells him what the problem is, but doesn't stay there. He says, "I think I have a solution for you, but it's for you to judge whether you want to take it or not." He says, "I'm offering this to you." And I love, because this is like God's providence. Like God's providence. He comes at the exactly right time. Exactly right time. You see, great leaders accept advice and they implement it. And constructive criticism. See, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He said, "Yeah, thank you. What would I do without my mother-in-law and father-in-law?" So great leader accepts constructive criticism, and great advisor offers it and leaves it at that. It doesn't mean that the Moses needed to accept everything that he said. But he did. He did. What was the outcome? What was the outcome of the role of that Jethro played in the life of Moses? What was it? I really believe that Moses became a better father and a husband. Why? He had a little more time. Or he could have had a little more time. That's a Jethro's role. We need the Jethro in our lives. Suddenly what Jethro did and was implemented, that suddenly there is a shared burden of duty. It's not just you. It's not just a handful of elders. But it is everyone that has a role to play. There is a shared burden of duty. As we are all moving to the promised land, everybody has a role to play. Not just Moses, not just a few elders. Everyone does. There is a shared sense of duty as we move to the promised land. I'm actually expecting amen. I didn't hear it. Yes. I just squeezed it out of you. Another outcome of Jethro's role, and that is there was a shared sense of meaning and purpose. As they have suddenly selected people to play their role, suddenly these people started to have a sense of purpose and meaning. Okay, I can do something, not just for myself, but for others. So now there is a sense of meaning and purpose for everyone. As a church, we are organized. And we have ministries. And you have talents. And you place your talent in a ministry because that's how God created you, to place you in a place where you can flourish and have a sense of purpose and meaning as we are all moving to the promised land. It's not just Moses, it's not just few elders, it's everyone. Jethro, we need Jethro. All have a role to play. When we are well organized, we better face challenges. If you are just an observer, you do not have buy-in. You do not have buy-in. You are going because others are going, or your dad is going, or your mom is going, or I don't know what. But when you are active participant, and we are all facing challenges, we are then all in it together. And obviously, we are better prepared to enter into the promised land. Don't you agree with this? So the message of Jethro and my message today is, please don't be a bystander. Bystander. Everyone has a role to play. You don't want just few to burn, but everyone to share the load. So we are all on our journey to the promised land, and we can all do with positive criticism. And all of us are having a role to play. All of us are having a role to play. Where's Bill? I know I have given you this. Let me tell you this. This sermon just happened to be at the same time when we are having a nominating committee. Do you see the providence? Come on, people. Do you see it? All of those who have said yes, I want you to fill in this form, and all of those who have said nothing, I want you to fill it in. Look, we truly have a role to play. So, God has given you a talent, and in the church of God, it's not just one or two or some, but all. And if you haven't had one so far, understand my sermon as a constructive criticism of you. And if you have had and you have been burned, you deserve rest. But not for you, not for too long. So some of you might have even filled in this before, so you don't need to do it now, but for my sake, it may well be that we might have lost or you have not given it properly to anyone. So I would really like to have all your responses from this little sheet that you are going to get, which simply states all the ministries that we have within our church, and we have not, and there could be some that we have not specified and you want to be part of. Please put your name, your email, or just your phone number, and we will get back to you. All I am doing, I'm being practical about Jethro, who we need as we move towards the promised land. So, please take this sheet, and if any of you, I hope all of you have a pen. Does any of you need a pen? There is somebody over there that needs a pen. Anybody else who needs a pen? Please, if you have filled it, but you don't know what happened to the sheet that you have filled before, I'd like you to refill it. And I would like you then to, as you are going out, don't give it to anybody else but me. Today I'm Jethro, okay? And Moses at the same time. Thank you for doing that, and may God bless you. I really do believe that this sermon that I preached today was providential and timely. And I want you to prayerfully consider the role you play in this church as we all move towards the promised land. Okay, is there a last hymn to sing, and then we are going to pray at the end? Yeah, thank you.